Oh,
I like it.
It's up to you now. It's up to you.
I like it.
And now it's time for A Coach's View with Watson Brown, brought to you by Richard Courtney Realty.
Wednesday morning, Coach Watson Brown from the Plateau, of course, every day with George Plaster in the afternoons. Hey, Watson, how you doing, man?
What's up, Coach?
Guys, I'm doing great. You guys, everybody good?
Yeah, okay. We're good. Hey, what'd you think of Richard Todd when he played for the Jets?
I love Richard. I mean, he was one of those. He was a linebacker playing quarterback. That's what he was. He was a linebacker playing quarterback. Sometimes he threw like a linebacker, too.
Most times he threw to the linebacker, right, Coach?
Good point.
Joe Beningo.
Very good point. But I always thought of him. He played the wrong position. He'd have been
He was a big, strong kid, wasn't he?
Oh, Lord, yeah. He was perfect for the wishbone. But they don't run the wishbone in the pros.
Do you want to tell him why you asked that question?
Well, sure. So, what happened yesterday, I was talking about the Jets and their pursuing of Aaron Rodgers, which I'm definitely going to ask you about at some point. And just the fact that I said, the Jets really haven't had a franchise quarterback since Joe Namath. And Numbnut over here, who likes to, needle me and get under my skin, said, well, Richard Todd had a couple of good years, I thought. Richard Todd.
Pogey don't ever do that.
No, man.
He's
testing me today, Coach.
Yeah, it's not Pogey, it's Pokey.
Yeah, it's Pokey. Yeah, he's Pokemon.
Pokey.
Yeah, he's not the Pokemon, he's the Pokemon.
The double
Pokemon.
P here. Yeah. We got the double P in there.
But now, at least, I could have thrown out a few others.
Ken O'Brien. Well, Chad Pennington was actually pretty good.
Yeah, Chad wasn't bad out of Knoxville. Yeah. Right?
Yeah,
I'd say you were probably pretty good to him there, Pogey, I'd say.
Well, I mean,
you could have taken that a lot further than you did.
Well, the fact of the matter is, he's probably the top five quarterbacks in Jets history, and he's awful.
Oh yeah.
So
you're right. He is that. I'd vote for that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wasn't too far off base, So anyway, what do you spring practice is getting ready to start. How, and I want to ask you this, Vanderbilt Clark Lee, he splits his between spring break. He'll get them a couple weeks, take it off. I think you get 15 practices counting the spring game.
Yeah.
And then you'd come back
over 30 days.
Right. And then you come back or you just do it. I haven't met a coach yet who likes the spring game. He might like the gate if somebody's paying $5, like they're going to be at Tennessee. But how do you handle spring practice? Because I would say at the top of the list, don't get anybody hurt.
That's the key, and yet that's when you need to be the most physical you are in your practice. So that's why coaches were not fond of spring practice, because of the injury. But I always felt like your physical work, especially your fundamental half lines, all that good pass rush drills, all that is really good in the spring. Because if you do hurt one, not seriously, but hurt one, it's not going to kill you and you get them back for the fall. In the summer, we'd hit early, but I'd back off within 10 days or so of the first game. So you really don't hit near as much in your preseason as you did your spring. I hated spring games. The one guy that has fought 46 years when I was in the business to have play somebody down the road in a quick spring game. Vanderbilt plays Middle Tennessee for the year, or Vanderbilt plays Memphis, and then have and either do that or have one preseason game against somebody down the road. One of the two. And I always thought it'd be better in the spring. You'd make a little money.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't play yourselves, which is a joke. I mean, you go out there in that thing when you're playing yourselves, and you want to make sure it's over quick and get them out without injury.
Well, and the scoring, and I've seen every kind of scoring formula for, like you got to figure out the Pythagorean theorem. Yeah.
They're all awful. Nobody can keep up with them, and nobody cares. Absolutely nobody cares if the offense or the defense won or that. Or a divided team or whatever. And some coaches like to do that deal where you completely let captains, sorry, got them by the end, divide up two teams, one side to pick here and they pick. Well, that don't do anything except make players mad. on when they're picked. And then we'd have this deal where the winners got to have a steak and the losers had to be in the same room eating hot dogs. Well, that's
yeah.
I mean, so it's all been tried, guys, and nothing works.
Can I tell you what Woody Woodenhofer did it this one year? It was Rudy Kalis and Mike Organ and me and Hope Hines. And we went in and actually drafted our teams. They split the coaching staffs. They did that. The coordinators were going to be the head coaches with the teams they were given. And yet it was all the position coaches and us drafting the players.
Yep. That's been done a bunch.
And I'm one and oh as a coach, by the way. I'm 1-0.
Oh, you did
yeah,
win.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we ran it up too, man.
Were you the offensive coach or defensive?
Yes. Yeah, I was.
I did something like
no. I was the coach.
I did something similar.
Head coach.
No, I was just out there. I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah, you were just saying go, run, tackle.
Can I
tackle that guy?
Hey, can I get a quote? That's what I was doing.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, coach, when you're going through spring drills, are you kind of walking a fine line between testing what the players have retained from the previous season and installing new stuff? How does that work?
Yeah, a little bit of installing the new stuff. You could do some of that in preseason. I didn't do as much of that. I always thought spring ball was pure fundamentals. Get back to blocking and tackling. Mm-hmm. And your base things that you believe in. Now, if you're having a new offense, that's a total different story. Spring's not near as good for you because all you're doing is installing. But if you've got good carryover, and in today's world, God, it's hard because this transfer portal.
Right.
See, when I was coming through, you bring them in, you build it for 4 years, and let's see what you got, and maybe five, and see what you got. And then now it's a new team every year, so I'm not sure I'd know how to handle spring anymore because I do think there's a lot of installing because you got so many new people that come in January. Then you got a brand-new group of 15 more, 10 more that come in June, in the summer. So it's just everything in coaching to me is a different world, and that I don't like, and the reason I don't like is I wouldn't feel comfortable with it. I never had to deal with that. I'm sure I would learn, but I'm just not for this transfer pool. The NIL, I'm not against kids making money. That I do think that's fair. Figure out a way to do it and keep it under control. Why you wouldn't do that before you started? Have a way you know you're going to control it. But they didn't. They just opened season, and now they got to go back and figure that out. But this transfer portal, I do not like this. I think there ought to be some exceptions to it. A lot of it ought to be more of an exception to get the transfer and play immediately than just walk out the door and leave when something doesn't go the way you want, whether you've got to catch enough passes, whether you're not starting, where the offense don't fit you. I mean, good gracious alive. When are you going to get in there and fight for your position and
right, compete, right?
Instead of running from it and going to somewhere else that's going to give it to you.
Well, the next round's early May. They've got another open period for the transfer.
That's because
spring, everybody's going to come out of spring seeing where they are on the depth chart.
Right.
You know,
right.
And that's running from the situation, Pogey, to me.
Yeah.
That's
and they run in there, there's not enough chairs coming out. There's just not enough.
Right.
They get in there, and what was it, 40%, I think I heard, that don't land anywhere.
No, they end up with nothing. And we don't talk about that. You know, we want to let that go and not discuss it, and I'm glad you brought that up. Over 1,000 kids didn't have a place to play because nobody took them and the school wouldn't take them back to where they came out from. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of bads for this transfer pool. It's really got to be looked into.
Do you fill out a March Madness bracket, Watson?
No.
Why?
No, I kind of do mentally. I try to do a Final Four and then who will win it. But I don't go through the whole bracket. We used to do that as staffs. Now that I'm out, I don't do it anymore. But we would do it every year as a staff and see who did the
best. Isn't that illegal?
No, not unless you're betting money on it.
Why are you trying to get him in trouble, man?
Statute of limitations.
What they going to do?
Yeah.
They're not going to let me coach anymore.
They're going to give you a show calls, Watson.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Hey, Coach.
That's what I deserve anyway.
Hey, Coach, I wanted to ask you about this Aaron Rodgers situation. Now he has a list of demands that he wants. I want this guy. I want that guy. I don't know, man. I'm from New York, Watson. I've watched the Jets, and I've followed them for over 40 years. They always get it wrong. I just see Aaron Rodgers as a guy who's arrogant. I think he's aloof. I don't think he works very hard. And he's going to come in wanting all these demands, and the Jets are probably going to acquiesce to most of them. And I just don't think this whole thing's going to end well, and it's going to end up getting Robert Saleh fired. And I feel bad saying that because I really like Robert Saleh. What say you?
I think he's a good guy and a good coach.
Yeah, I like him a lot, man.
I was asked yesterday, John, what about this? I mean, how's it going to work? I said it's totally in the Jets' hands. If they lay the law down before he ever walks in the door. I brought it to recruiting a high school kid. You recruit a high school kid really, really hard. But by the time he comes to you, the law is laid down, and here's what goes on here.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes maybe you don't go into all of that when you're recruiting.
Right.
but when he gets there, uh-oh, this is the way it's going to be. And that's where I think the Jets are. They need to lay the law down. If they do, they may be in a Super Bowl. If they don't and just let him go, then they got real problems. Check out the Denver Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
The Broncos let Wilson come in and do whatever he wanted. He had his own coaches. He had an office in the building. I mean, for God's sakes, you've got to be kidding me. And if they let Aaron Rodgers do that, they're in worse trouble than they are right now. But I think Aaron Rodgers has still got it. And I do think he's got enough to him that if he hears this is the way it is and they make him perform to that, he'll do it. Because I think he's wanting to prove to people that everybody's down on him right now. And I think they'll be catching him at a good time. But if they let him go, John, look out. They've got to lay the law down the minute he walks in that building.
I agree, Coach.
Watson. You ever thought what it might have been like to play at Three Rivers Stadium as a Pittsburgh Pirate?
Yeah. Yeah, I've thought that many times.
How Three close? Rivers, yeah.
Pittsburgh was college, but Red Sox were high school. So Red Sox would have been the one that where I set a ship. By the time Pittsburgh was talking to me to want to draft me, I couldn't. I didn't have the speed I had with my knee surgery. I couldn't raise my left arm. You realize I played baseball my senior year at Vanderbilt and could not raise my left arm. I started as a shortstop, played there about half the season, had some trouble with catching double play balls because it's my glove arm. And if Steve Eastup would be flipping it to me or whoever, I couldn't get the arm wouldn't react quick enough, so they then put me in the outfield, and I finished playing in the outfield. But that's the reason I didn't do it. I knew I didn't have the same stuff. But my biggest regret, probably, Pogi, is that I didn't try the baseball route. But I defend myself by saying if I went out of high school when I was healthy and I didn't make it, you couldn't play any other sport. You were a pro in every sport if you signed a pro contract with anybody. Now that's not true. I wonder if I'd have tried it if that had been the case.
Well, I played for Larry Schmitto, right?
I played for Coach Schmitto. Played summer, my senior year of high school. He picked me up and I played summer ball right up and didn't get to go to the World Series with him because I had to come back to camp for Vanderbilt for football. So I went everything except to the Worlds through the regions and everything with him. And then I played for Coach Schmitto 1 year after I got injured and couldn't play football anymore. I gave it a shot and did okay, but I wasn't myself anymore.
Me either.
Jeez. God.
Watson, thank you as always.
That's
we appreciate
the way to break the ice.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I like
yeah,
that.
Great way to end the segment there,
yeah,
Coach.
I'm not the same either. Trust me, I know.
Hey, John.
Yeah, Coach.
Go Jets.
Richard Todd, baby.
If he goes, I'm pulling for the Jets.
You know what?
The Jets, they deserve it.
You're right.
And do realize.
You're right.
That would be a number 12 that's leading them again.
You know what? Joe Namath said if he comes to the Jets, he'll let him wear number 12. Because
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah,
I would doubt. Because
Joe's that kind of
Joe
guy.
A little bit, I think Joe would let him do that.
Yep,
no doubt.
All right, we'll see what happens, Coach.
Thank you, Watson. See you, man.
Thanks,
it's
Coach.
It's an honor. Talk to you.
All right.